Darcy? Darcy, let's go. Good girl. Good girl. Down. Good dog. Good morning. This has been absolutely fantastic week, by the way. I've learned a lot of things this week. I've learned that 2 6-year-olds can take out a 17-year-old and 2 border collies. That's energy. I also learned that even the best dogs in the world, when turned loose with 5 wonderful but rampaging children, lose their minds. And that it's possible for 7 children to be in the yard with a dog and not see her eat a ball this big. So we think it all came back, but if we're making a mad dash for the door, now you know why. Okay. All right. I'd like to pray first. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share, and I just pray that you will just bless this and speak to us for your glory, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Okay, I'd like to take you back several years to a time when I was struggling under the weight of trying to obey God. The Bible commands that we live in obedience to Him, and so armed with a list of do's and don'ts a mile long, I proceeded to put in my very best effort and failed miserably. Part of the problem was that my list kept getting longer and longer, and when I wasn't adding to it, somebody else was. Consequently, I found that I was defeated before I even began, and I often wondered what the point was in even trying. And it happened at that time that I was in the process of training a very talented dog who had an incredible ability to find people by scent, and through a whole bunch of circumstances, I felt that the Lord was really leading me to go into search and rescue with her. But there was one problem. She hated other dogs and would try to attack them, which is a very serious thing when you're out searching with other search and rescue dogs, and all your dog wants to do is eat the other dogs. That's a problem. So this unacceptable behavior stood between me and search and rescue training, and so God led me to take a professional trainer's course in Victoria, BC. And that's where it happened. He had me cornered in the solitude of a lonely motel room for 2 whole months. And as I studied my Bible each day, he began to show me that the obedience I was teaching dogs was in many ways the same as the kind of obedience that he was expecting from me. Not an endless list of do's and don'ts, but some very simple commands that would lead me to a closer walk with him and a whole new adventure in my life. In simple terms, he showed me the way to walk in obedience to him, and this is what I want to share with you. Okay, you might notice, as we're doing things, that the obedience my dog does is somewhat different from obedience you may have seen other dogs do, or obedience that you've taken in a class or even seen in dog shows. There's a reason for this. We have now learned that dogs communicate in very different ways, that the old style of the very strict obedience that some people teach and have taught goes against. Particularly straight comes and sits. In the dog shows, we and in the old training, the dogs were expected to come in very straight and sit very straight in front, and they got their points that way, and if they were slightly crooked, you lose points. Well, this is goes totally against how a dog thinks. To a dog, to come in very straight to another dog or a person is extremely rude. That's why you might notice if you have a dog or have seen other people call their dogs, often the dogs will curve just a little bit when they come in and they sit crooked. What they're doing is they're being very polite. We didn't understand that before, now we do. So I consider the extremely formal obedience that we used to teach as a type of legalism. And it can be compared to the endless list of do's and don'ts that so many of us found ourselves trying to follow. It puts unnecessary stress on the dog, and most of it has absolutely nothing to do with obedience anyway. The dogs that I train learn to be obedient because they want to. They don't learn to be obedient because they absolutely are forced into it every time. They learn to be obedient because they want to do it. Obedience to God is also this simple. It's not a matter of rules and regulations so much as it's a matter of relationship. When the relationship is right, the obedience will be quick and joyful. And when the obedience is quick and joyful, the relationship is right and growing in the direction it should. Before you can train a dog, there's some basic principles that you need to understand. Corrections. The first thing is the proper use of corrections. Now remember, I said corrections, not punishment, because there's a vast difference. There are many different corrections that can be used. In order to be effective and fair, they have to be timed perfectly and be something that the dog can understand. Some corrections simply make a dog uncomfortable. Some are a hard and direct challenge to the dog's desire to be a pack leader. You do not say no to your dog for everything. Sometimes you only say uh-uh. No is reserved only for the things that you never want them to do, like chewing, biting, or stealing food. Verbal corrections, like uh-uh, can be used to communicate that the dog has made a mistake, and it's then given the opportunity to obey the command. If the dog still refuses, a physical correction is used to make the dog comply. That sounds like we're forcing the dog, but what we're doing is we're teaching the dog that the hierarchy, it has to learn. A dog will obey. A dog, most dogs do not want to be the leader. They want someone to be the leader. And so we are just showing them that we have the qualities to be a leader. And once they understand that, they'll give to us and they'll do it because they want to. Many people don't think it's necessary to use physical corrections on a dog. However, dogs will physically correct each other. It's something that's part of their nature. They understand it, and they respond well as long as the corrections are fair. Corrections are used to teach the dog who is in authority or who is the pack leader. If the dog learns to give easily to the handler's authority, it can actually save the dog's life. I have heard of this. Your dog is a man's dog. He told me about it. It was on the other side of the road and was coming running. He saw a truck coming. He had no way to tell his dog to down, and it got hit by the truck and killed. God uses discipline because he loves us. Hebrews 12:10-11 says, "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." God says no for things we must never do. This is for our protection, not to make us miserable. Uh-uh means it isn't in your best interest. If we choose to ignore the verbal correction we may receive from his word or from a brother or sister in Christ, we could find ourselves in the midst of a physical one where God lets the circumstances do the correcting. Distractions. In order to teach a dog to obey a command in any situation, we introduce distractions and teach the dog to work through them. So often in my classes, I have people who come up and say, "But she did it perfect at home." And I totally believe them, because the dog has learned in that set of circumstances to obey the command there. What happens is when as soon as they take the dog to another situation, you start the training over again, and God does the same with us. The only way to teach the dog to obey in every situation is to introduce the dog to new and varied circumstances and new distractions. So when we teach distractions, it's just simple things. It's even things they're allowed to have. We just don't want them to have it at that moment. Good girl. It's just often little things. The innocent things. Some distractions are just the simple things in life around us that cause us to be too busy to listen to the Lord. Psalm 119:37 says, "Turn my eyes away from worthless things." 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "Shall we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen? For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." We often think we're doing just fine, all is good, and then suddenly that thing we thought we dealt with comes back, and we find out that maybe we didn't have it together after all. It's easy to be comfortable in our own world and to do everything just right, but the moment a new situation arises, we discover that we need a little more work. This is not something to beat ourselves up about. We pray for forgiveness and guidance, which he has wonderfully promised us. Then we get back up and we try again. Distractions are not plots so that God can thump us, but are rather there to shape our character and teach us to depend on the Father and keep our eyes on him. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Without training with corrections and distractions, the dog can never be completely reliable and therefore is open to all kinds of dangers. The same goes for us. If we never learn to keep our eyes focused on the Father, no matter what is happening around us, we're always vulnerable to dangerous pitfalls in our spiritual lives. The dog is given 2 seconds to comply to a command. After 2 seconds, the dog is corrected into the position that was requested. Delayed obedience is disobedience and will lead to more and more compromise. Sometimes you'll have a dog that will obey most of the way, but not all the way. Okay? It's corrected the same as if it hadn't even done anything at all. Because partial obedience is also disobedience. The walking exercise. In the walking exercise, the dog learns to follow the handler wherever he or she goes, quietly and without question. And in order to accomplish this, the dog is asked to follow close to the handler without lunging or pulling. It also learns not to bark or growl at passersby, but rather focus its attention on the handler. As long as it stays within a certain distance, it can look around. However, it must be paying sufficient attention to the handler so that if a change in direction were made, the dog would automatically follow without anything having to be said. Darcy, are you awake, old girl? They played you right out. Break. Good. Good girl. Let's go. Let's go. Good girl. Good girl. Let's go. Good dog. We don't have a big space here, do we? Good girl. Down. And she's tired. She's usually bang on, but I tell you, by 6 o'clock at night, this dog is toast. Okay, in order to learn this, the dog must give up all rights to chase after its own desires. It learns that with the handler is the best place to be. In the beginning, toys, people, and various other things might hold more interest, but with proper training, the dog will learn to focus on the handler and ignore the things around. The handler becomes the primary desire, and the outcome is a dog that follows close to its master with joy and enthusiasm. The rest of the dog's training hinges on the walking exercise. Once the dog learns to follow freely and accept corrections, then the rest becomes much easier. The walking exercise is the equivalent to "come follow me." When Jesus said to his disciples, "Come follow me," he was asking them to give up everything in order to learn from and become like him. He was asking them to give up, he was asking them to deny themselves the right of choosing their own life in order to take on the life that he chose for them. When he said, "Take up your cross and follow me," he was saying, "Die to your own desires and natural self and live according to what I have planned for you." Our natural tendency is to make our own way and to seek after the material things, but When we walk on our own, these natural desires will often lead us into doing things that we ought not to do and becoming the people that we ought not to be. Before we know Jesus, these things seem right and good to us. Being able to run in our own direction feels like freedom, but it leads to death. When we learn to walk with God, we give up our right to chase after these things, and we learn what is acceptable and what is not, and we learn to repent. Repentance is agreeing with God as to what is right and wrong, and then once we agree, then we turn from the wrong to follow Christ. In doing this, we begin to know him and love him as a person, and soon we find out that following after Christ is our heart's one true desire. The walking exercise involves forgiveness, both from God and towards others. We can't have an intimate relationship with God if we're unwilling to forgive. Just as the dog can't listen to its master if it's so busy at the fence barking at the neighbor, We can't focus on Christ when we're living behind a wall of anger, bitterness, and hatred towards somebody else. We need to learn to accept and view others from God's perspective. They are also created in His image, and although some of them may not belong to Him, they are still loved by Him and deserving of respect for that reason alone. Colossians 3:1-10 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator." To sum it up, we give up the right to go our own way, to do our own thing. We give up our right to bark, growl, and hurt those around us. It is repentance without argument and forgiveness freely given. We learn to keep our eyes on Him. But this is the beginning of obedience. In the sit command, the dog must learn to sit when the handler gives the command and stay until the release word or new command is given. The dog must learn to keep its eyes on the handler and listen for any new commands. Darcy, sit. Good girl. Very good. Sit is often used to make the dog wait for something, such as its food. The sit command can be used to teach the dog self-control. By requesting the dog sit before the door is opened, the dog can be taught how to greet somebody else. Good girl, down. The sit command is simply spending time studying the Bible and allowing it to change us. Mary understood the importance of sitting at the Master's feet. The Bible tells us to study to show yourself approved, 2 Timothy 2:15, and to hide God's word in your heart. We need to spend time in God's word, learning who He really is, learning how He expects us to respond, and learning to love Him even more. 2 Timothy 3:15-16 says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." But beware of distractions. It's so, so easy to say, "Well, I'll read later." Later rarely comes when we do this. Just as the dog might want to finish sniffing the grass before it sits, all too often other things come in and we want to run after those and we totally forget to sit. There will always be time for other things. We have to make time for the Lord. The come command. When given the come command, the dog is expected to come in straight. Now, when I say straight, I don't mean the perfect straight. I just mean that we're not going to go around the barn on our way to get here. They have to come in straight, fast, and sit in front within touching distance of the handler. Some dogs meander in slowly and very grudgingly. The look on their face seems to say, "Oh, all right, whatever." Others race in, and at the last second, something catches their eye, and bang, they're gone. They're just right on by. They're gone. Some dogs have such a desire to come, I had one of these, that they can hardly wait to be given the command. And when you give the command, they come in so fast that if you have to bend your knees because they will hit you and slide to a stop in front of you because they just want to get there so bad. The come command is time spent in prayer. The Lord prompts us, and it's up to us to come. Sometimes we grudgingly leave what we're doing, and just, you know, I haven't prayed yet. Gotta go do that. The whole time thinking about our day and everything else. Have you ever had that happen? You're in the middle of prayer, and suddenly you realize, wait a minute, I'm someplace else now. Sometimes we say, yes, I'll pray, and at the last moment get distracted and dash off thinking, oh, I'll pray later. Same thing. Instead, when we hear that still small voice that could only be his, let us fall on our knees at his feet. What an honor to be called into the presence of one who loves us so much. Prayer is an open invitation into his presence. Just as the dog needs to come close enough, Darcy, come. Just as the dog needs to come close enough for me to take hold of her collar, we have to come close enough for God to reach out and touch us. First Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The down command. You've seen it. Let's go. Darth. Good girl. Down. Awesome. Good dog. This is the hardest command for a dog to learn. The reason is it requires the dog to fully surrender to the handler. It gives up all of its rights and it says, yes, you're the boss. I'll go down. The simple rule is, if the elbows aren't down, I've had this happen with so many dogs in classes, the people think their dogs are in a down, I'll go by, and they hold their elbows this high off the ground. That dog is not in a down. That is just the slightest form of holding back and saying, I will still be my own boss. If the elbows aren't down, neither is the dog. Allowing the dog to keep its elbows up even slightly can lead to future behavior problems. And possibly a total disregard to the handler's authority. Submission to God is also the most difficult thing for us to do. He asks us to submit to him entirely and trust him completely. We tend to say, I surrender all except this one little thing. That one's mine. You don't mind, do you? That is the spiritual equivalent to holding your elbows off the ground. God doesn't want some of me some of the time. He wants all of me all of the time. Surrender everything. Give up everything. And trust him fully and totally. Trust in his ability to lead and guide us safely through. Hold nothing back. If your elbows aren't touching, you haven't surrendered all. You haven't learned total obedience or trust. Philippians 3:8 says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. When we submit totally and completely, we gain Christ totally and completely. Tricks. Tricks are taught without corrections. They're commands that ask a dog to do things that don't make any sense. Some people don't think of tricks as being obedience, but I actually view tricks as being a huge part of obedience because the dog is not made to comply. The dog is asked to do these things, and they do them because they want to do them. So therefore, it's got to be a bigger part of obedience, right? If the dog doesn't want to do the trick, it can't be done. Okay, it's a willingness to give up what it doesn't understand just because we ask for it. And how much more obedient can you get than that? Hey, Darcy, break. 8. You poor tired thing. Yeah. Good girl. I mean, yeah, you want that. 8. Good girl. Does this make any sense? None. Okay. What else can you do? Spin. Good girl. Hup. Hup, hup, great girl, catch. That, by the way, is blessings. Get up. Okay, out, out. Sometimes God will ask us to do things that don't make any sense to us or those around us. We might just have a feeling that we can't shake, that he's requiring us to do something out of the ordinary. Duncan Campbell was an early 20th century missionary, and he had such a feeling when he was speaking at a conference. He told those who had invited him to speak that he had to leave before his final address and set out for a destination he had never been to. Such behavior would seem foolish to some. However, his obedience led to not only an answer to prayer for a brother in Christ, but one of the biggest revivals that swept through Scotland and England. We need to ask ourselves the question that Mr. Campbell put before one individual. Are you willing to be a fool for Christ? Once you have learned basic obedience, the next step is advanced obedience. This is where we really get in tune with God. We learn to sit from a down from a sit. And it doesn't matter how far off he seems, we keep our eye on him and he keeps us safe. I don't know, she's so tired, I don't know if you can see. Everywhere I go, she's got one eye on me. So that, Darcy, sit. Good girl. If you just watch, she's always watching. This is part of advanced obedience, that you learn that. I can tell her with just a hand signal, because she's watching. Hey! Wrong hand? Sorry. Didn't mean to confuse you. Good girl. Because she's always watching. It doesn't matter how far off God seems. If we keep our eyes on him, we can do the obedience and he will keep us safe. Other things we learn, healing, the art of walking in perfect step with the master. With our eyes focused on him, we can't possibly make a wrong turn. Darcy, heal. This is different. It's very, very structured. Awesome. Good dog. Catch it. Good girl. Down. The flying down, which is dropping into a position from a dead run. Oh, to be able to hear his voice, and no matter what is happening around me, to be able to drop and submit myself to him and say, yes, Lord, whatever, whatever you say. Darcy, here. Sit. Come. Down. A directed outrun. I can't show you this. She's trained on sheep and ducks. But I'll tell you a story. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Out. Down. When I first went to take her for training with sheep, the shepherd took me into a field. It was immense. There was a mountain at the far end of this field. The trees looked about this big. It was so far away. At the bottom of the mountain were some boulders mixed in amongst the trees. The grass was about this tall, and the shepherd was just talking, and we walked in, and she said to her dog, away to me. And the dog took off. And she never watched him, and she never talked to him again. I just stood there and watched the dog run while she talked to me. And he disappeared into the deep grass. And a few minutes later, she turned and said, I want you to watch the bottom of the hill. And all of a sudden, the boulders got up. They were sheep. And he brought the whole flock in without another word. That's a directed outrun. It was one of the most beautiful things I ever saw. Where he sends me, I will go. I don't necessarily know the reason or what will happen when I get there. but I want to say, I will go with joy and speed, for I know my master and his purpose is always good. Maybe you're thinking that I've left out one important part of obedience, worship. One client put it into perspective for me when she was watching me train with my dog. She said, I love to watch you work with Darcy. She worships you. Obedience is our worship. It's the laying down of our whole selves for the glory of God. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, in all of this, you might be thinking, okay, I get the obedience part. Tell me again about the relationship. The walking exercise, learning to exchange our values for his. The sit command, taking the time to listen to his word and learning who he is as a person. Yes, God is a person. The come command, expressing our cares, thoughts, and needs with him, or more simply just communicating. Understanding that he's a loving, perfect parent who knows all things, so we can do what he asks, even though it might not make sense to us at the time. Just like Darcy sees her relationship with me as most important, and so she obeys me because she wants to, when we're working on maintaining a close relationship with God, the obedience in other areas just seems to happen. We won't be perfect. We will make mistakes, but we can throw away the list of do's and don'ts and focus on the joy of living in his presence. Now, this is not the dog I took to Victoria. She was a beautiful dog, but I had to have her put down within a few months of bringing her home, which broke my heart. She was only three. It seems a strange thing because I know people have gone through so much more than I've gone through. But that dog meant so much to me. Not only, she was a total gift from God. She took me through two bouts of depression. She took me through, he used her to take me through the breakdown of my marriage. She meant so much to me. And then he taught me all this stuff with her. And then he was taking her away. And then he said, can you thank me for this? It took me 3 days. But when I did, he so blessed me. I was so full of joy. You can thank him for the very hard things you have to go through. You can thank him. Then I said, God, you wanted me to go into search and rescue. My good dog is dead, and you gave me this, who can't find anything with her nose to save her life, not even on the kitchen floor. I said, God, you wanted me to go into search and rescue. What am I going to do? He said, what is to search but to seek? What is to rescue but to save? I came to seek and save the lost. There is your search and rescue. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all the love you pour out on us. I thank you that you speak to us in ways that we can understand, that you are so patient and so loving and so kind, and that you train us to become the obedient people you want us to be. Please bless us. Please teach us. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.